Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Most weight loss plans are one size fits all, not taking into account each person's individual needs. Noom is here to change that. Noom Weight uses psychology. That's why they say losing weight starts with your brain, but it also takes into account your unique biological factors, which also affect weight loss success. The program helps you understand the science behind your eating choices and why you have cravings. Everyone's journey is different, so your daily lessons are personalized to you and your goals. One of the great things about Noom is that it's nourishing instead of restrictive. They focus on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs, or anything for that matter. Have cravings? Food FOMO? Noom can help you lose weight while still enjoying your favorite foods. To date, Noom has helped more than 5.2 million people lose weight. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com.
Welcome to the Mental Health Today Show. My name is John Cordray, and I'm a licensed therapist, and I'm the host of this show. And today I am really excited about talking with Ed. Ed is the CEO of EDA Contractors. And you started it, established it in 1999, and you're based out of Pennsylvania. And you do something very interesting, and it really caught my eye. And you are in a very large company, a contractor company, and you specialize in so many things, roofing and masonry and architectural wall panels. And so all of these things, and we're talking about workplace culture and wanting to foster mental health. And how big is your organization, Ed?
We have around 450 people.
Yeah. So that is a lot of people. And we were talking just a little bit ago before we came on the record. And I had mentioned, you know, that this is a kind of a stereotypical view, I think, of the construction industry is that, you know, people think of these big burly guys that are outside doing these big burly things. And mental health is one of the farthest things from their minds. In fact, you know, they're not going to talk about mental health. And yet here you are, founded this company, and this is a big focus that you have in your company. And I'm really interested in learning, how do you foster that positive workplace culture and prioritizing personal and professional development and their mental health? And that is really interesting to me. But before we get to that, can you tell us a little bit about you and how did you get to where you're at?
You know, I think like most people, you know, I like to always start off with a simple story. If my grandfather did it from my mom's side, didn't come over from Ireland and, you know, go through, you know, foster care and go through a process, I wouldn't be in this country. So there's my first point. I had two parents who loved me, who helped raise me. They had the means to be able to give me a middle class lifestyle. So I'm already doing pretty well from that standpoint. And I think that's an important part for everyone to recognize, that sometimes you need some of those benefits that had, I didn't do anything to earn those benefits. I was just born, and I'm glad, and I'm appreciative of it. And then, you know, I think at that point, one of the stories I always like to talk about is I was a paper boy. So in the Philadelphia region, you know, you have row homes. At 11, 12 years old, I was up at 5 o'clock in the morning delivering papers. And I think that gives you your first opportunity to be a business owner. I had to pay for my papers. I had to deliver them. I had to do customer service. I had to collect the money from the individuals. Depending on my behavior, usually that's how I would get tips. You know, you wanted to be your own entrepreneur. So your success and failure really was upon how you did your job, even as young as 11, 12. And, you know, it was for me, I really believe that was the first taste of what it's like to be an entrepreneur. And I liked it. And it felt like this is something I want to do. I want to be an entrepreneur. I didn't know what, but I wanted to do my own thing. So, you know, after, you know, I went to college, you know, played soccer at St. Joe's University, went to a good high school, went to college, graduated from college, and started working with a friend of mine's construction business. He happened to be a commercial roofing contractor. I spent about 9 years there from 1990 to 99. And from 99 is when I decided to go out on my own and start EDA. Myself, just one person, you know, I was fortunate enough to have my father who owned a business. He gave me a little area for free. The reason I like to start, John, those things off with any story is there's always a story of other people putting you in a position. So before I can get to what I think we did to be successful or to get to this point, those little foundational things had to be lined up right for me. And I take pride in what we've done since 1999 to 2024, 25 years later. And we can speak to that, and we will as we go through this. But I'd like people to kind of get an idea that, you know, there's a lot of people along the way that get you to a point that allow you to succeed. And I'm very proud of being in that situation.
Well, and I can tell as well is that you are very grateful for where you are and how you got there. And that's huge for someone to have that attitude and that humility that sets everything starts at the top. And so you're ahead of this very large company, and you obviously you are very thankful and you have a lot of gratitude of the people you've met, your experiences along the way, and to where you're at now. And I can just tell that you really value that and you are passing it on to your employees. It trickles down. We all know that. Everything, any company, it trickles down.
I think it does start at the top. And I appreciate you recognizing the fact, and I believe in everything I just said. I believe that I have worked my tail off. I believe that I committed myself to what I'm doing, but I also recognize the fact that even with all those things, I needed some other foundational things to allow me to take my talent that was God-given to me and then take it to the next level. And yes, I don't look at myself as anything different than a lot of entrepreneurs. I don't look at myself as extraordinary. I look at myself as a passionate, committed person to a thought process of how I wanted to do things. And I was committed to it and I didn't change my course. I was committed that that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah. And so you developed this company in construction. Yeah. I listed off a couple of things that you do, but I'm sure I didn't cover all of them, but what's the kind of the main focus of your company?
Sure. So John, when I came out of college, I worked for a commercial roofing company. So I started as a commercial industrial roofing company. And then through years of learning and understanding the business, we then really tried to branch out, diversify. So then we started doing these architectural wall panels on the outside of buildings, all the while saying that we wanted to keep a building watertight. That was our theme, watertightness. How do we keep the building from having water enter the building? So it went from wall panels to masonry. We do air and vapor barrier. We do historic restoration. And we just added glazing to our systems. And we call it the EDA envelopes. We like to just say, if it has anything to do with trying to keep your building watertight, we want to be involved in it. And that's how it's evolved over the 25 years. When we first started out, it was just roofing and waterproofing. That's what I knew. And then as you learn, as you go through a business, you kind of add on different parts of your business, depending on, and which is what we'll get to, depending on your people. Again, I started out in roofing because that's what I knew at the time. But then as you evolve, you find good people, and then you say, let's challenge each other, and what else can we do?
Yeah, and as you found the good people, it grew and grew and grew and grew and became a large company.
Yes.
And I know that over the years, you had mentioned that your company has received quite a bit of awards over the years for top workplaces. And that's a pretty major thing, because right now in our work climate, no matter what company or what type of company it is, if you don't have good workplace culture, if it's a toxic culture, for instance, it's not a good company. There's something wrong. The company is sick and something's going to happen. But for you, you recognize that that's an important, it's so important that you put a lot of emphasis on that. So I would love to learn a little bit more about how did you get those that recognition, and what are you doing in your company to earn that?
So what I would say is, like every entrepreneur, your first 5 years are you're just hanging on, trying to stay. You just want to survive. There was no culture. Culture was survival. I can't sit here and tell you that I even thought about it in those first 5 years. The next 5 years where we were getting our rhythm, we knew what we were doing. We were profitable. It was a good company. But there was a point where it was like, is there more to this? I think there's more that we can do to have it not be just about profits. Maybe there's something else. And that was when I went on a journey of reading and investigating companies. And, you know, and I don't mind mentioning Southwest Airlines, Zappos, you know, Starbucks, and said, wow. And then I read the book Good to Great by Jim Collins. And it allowed the math of successful businesses with what are they doing that is creating a culture that people see a difference. If you can sell shoes and coffee and be an airline that is the only profitable airline in a world that is not profitable, what is that magic thing? And what I read and what I really understood was your people. How are you creating a culture that makes them feel valued, makes them feel like they're part of something? And can you do that and be profitable? And in that journey, it was like, yeah, we can do that. And that felt better for me. And it takes me back to when my other paper boys were complaining about customers. I saw that, you know what? When I treated the customers right, they treated me better. So now, why don't I take that same thing? If I treat my staff and my people better, I still will hold them accountable. But just treat them like human beings. I have something called humanity as a strategy. And, you know, be strategic about treating them like humans, and everything else is really going to get better. And since 2010 to 20, that's when all the awards came in. When we focused and we spent time and money between consultants, between my own research, between pushing my staff to think about this culture thing. It's not good enough to put a ping pong table. That is not a culture. A culture takes depth and time and effort and a commitment from the top, from the CEO level, that this is what we're doing. And people are trying to tell you that it's not that important. And you're saying, I know it's important. And part of it for me was there was evidence from these large corporations that, you know, we can do it. And they said, well, yeah, but you're just a construction company. So what? I'm an entrepreneur like anybody else. I'm no better than a corner, you know, produce stand. And they're no better than me just because they're these Fortune 500 companies. That was a turning point for me and for our company. And that's when best workplaces, high value in Glassdoor from people, a lot of repeat people telling their family members and friends they should come work here. Retention rate way above the average.
Well, and that's so extremely important. It's kind of a simple concept, but it's overlooked by so much. It's when a company, and I see this too over the years, when a company places a huge focus on their profit, that's over people, profit over people, that is backwards. It's when companies are able to say people, their customers, the people first, and then the profit will come. And you mentioned not only that, but also retention. And so your turnover is amazing, right? So you don't have much turnover, not compared to a lot of other companies. It's because your employees feel valued. And when an employee feels valued, they're going to work hard. And there's going to feel purpose, and you're going to see it. It's, again, it trickles throughout the company.
It does, John. The thing I would say to anybody who would even be listening is, but it takes time, intentionality, and money. So I knew profits from reading and getting some confirmation of some research myself. You have to spend money to do this. So that's why I say in the first 5 years, you might say, I don't have enough money. Well, you only have, for me, it was me and one other person. So it wasn't like I needed a giant culture shop. But when you get a larger organization, you have to start investing in, and you are 100% right. You must take people over profits. People are what make us better. The innovation comes from the people, not Ed DeAngelis, from the people. My job is to spark it. My job is to give them a field of soil that is well nourished so they can come in and start seeding and growing and being the powerful people that we are. So all our success that has gone extraordinarily quicker from that time period is all because of our investment in our people.
And when people feel invested, they feel cared for and really interested. This is mental health. You know, I talk a lot about mental health, and I'm really interested in, are there some specific things that your company does in regards to mental health for your employees? Like,
absolutely.
Tell me about it.
So the first thing, John, I know you'll appreciate this because of you know, what your expertise is. The first thing you have to do is stop making them leave their humanity at home and think that they have to come to work and be something different. So the first thing you do is embrace them as human beings that come from all different backgrounds with all different experiences. And that's the first part of a mental health journey, is to accept people for who they are and let them be free to be who they are. That doesn't mean that they can just come in whenever they want and do whatever they want. It just means that their life experience of who they are is accepted and understood. And if they have troubles at home, it's okay to say to them, are you okay? How are you feeling? And it's okay if they say, I had a bad night. It wasn't okay. And for us, that was the first part of just saying that. And I'm talking construction workers. You brought up the thing that is what I am the most proud of, is this was a process of going through with our frontline construction workers, unionized employees who had from Philadelphia area. These are rough and tough ideologies of how things should be. But I must tell you, as hard it was for some of them, the embrace knowledge that they want this. Mm. They're just living in a stereotype that they think they're supposed to be a certain way. Every human being is the same. They want to be cared for. They want to be valued. They want to be loved. And they want to know that what they're doing makes a difference. I don't care if you got a tattoo on your neck and you're 6'5", and especially male-dominated industry, we were trying to break down that stereotype that your strength is not in your muscles. It's in your brain. And your heart. And when you are in the right spot, you can move that forward. The first thing to do is just break it down, you know, and it took intentionality and work to let people to go, what are we doing? Why are we talking about our mental health? Why are we talking about the amygdala? Why are we talking about our hippocampus? Why are we talking about frontal? Did we bring in someone to really let them know why they get angry or why they're sad? You know, some of the things that we've done is through emotional intelligence. One of the things we do before all of our meetings, everybody takes 30 to 60 seconds to breathe. Construction workers, hand on your chest, on your stomach, close your eyes. And all we're going to do is just breathe. Think of something good and just breathe. It's weird and it feels awkward for a lot of males to be that vulnerable. But I can tell you that it's had a tremendous difference. And they're smart enough to understand what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And again, give them some credit that they're doing this amazing, very difficult work. And we're just seeing them as this giant human being. So to answer your question, the first part to do is just accept that people come differently and then be willing to talk about it. And you say, well, then what? We're going to spend our whole time talking about their feelings? No, we help people and then we guide them to resources and encourage them through our own experiences. I am an individual who goes to therapy. I'm an individual who takes anxiety medicine. I'm an individual who had almost a breakdown from my business. I'm willing to be vulnerable to say, I'm like you. We all come from different experiences, but mental health is something that we all have to struggle with. We all have bouts of depression, bouts of anxiety, bouts of overjoy. So as soon as my leaders can be pushed into giving that comfort and psychological safety to those individuals, then they start to come. It takes a while, but they start to come closer.
So you are really breaking that stigma within the construction industry. There's a stigma also to mental health. And yes. So you are systematically bringing that down within your own company, your ecosystem, and you're making mental health awareness a part of life in your company. And so people are learning to be open and maybe not feel like there's something wrong with them because they have anxiety or because they have depression or they're struggling with grief or burnout or whatever they're struggling with. It's okay because it's something that is really focused and talked about in your company.
Yeah. And John, I mean, look, the facts don't lie. Male construction worker is 6 times more likely to die by suicide than by a project-related injury. 6 times more likely to commit suicide. You know, we are 3 to 4 times the average of a male of dying from suicide or dealing with depression. So the only way to deal with anything is to get it out of the dark. And I can tell you that while they're not openly running to talk about this, the more we talk about it, the more we have programs to help people. Because the thing that comes from mental health is addiction. Any kind of addiction comes from how you feel mentally. Because we are in a physically challenging job, if they get injured and they may need an opioid or something, and they're now already on the cusp of having some mental health issues, we just threw an atomic bomb into their brain. And I think that's where we've seen, if we can talk about that so they can come out of the darkness and not have that stigma, because it is absolutely a stigma that society believes that males should be more. And I don't know why the male's brain and a female's brain are any different other than some parts of it. They're all built the same. The muscles in the brain, a woman's brain has the same size.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Eyes in the same frame. It's just that it's the experiences and what society gives you. And that's, you're right. What we're proud of is saying, this is who we are. We are proud of who we are. And we want to help change the way we see each other so we can get this stigma out and just say, look, it doesn't mean anything anymore. Let's just get each other help. And we've lost someone to suicide. And that was another part that just kept saying, you know, I don't want to have that happen. It's too painful. So mental health in the construction industry has not been spoken about. But the reaction, to be honest with you, from our construction workers is more 75% positive than it is negative. It's awkward. It's hard to do. But once you show them how to do it and teach them and do some training with them and let them fully understand it and expose them to it, most of the people are, you know, they're just like, that's why I'm hijacked. That's why I'm losing my mind at times, because I'm frustrated and stressed. And now if I can breathe and I can really understand that, how do I take my temperature down? And I only need 5 seconds. And I don't have to tell you, John, this. I mean, you just need 5 to 7 seconds to take you off that emotional cliff.
Yeah, no, I think that is amazing. I think that's a great focus and a realization that it really takes education and also encouragement. Education on, here are some simple things you can do for your own mental health. You don't even have to tell other people. If you're struggling, here's something you can do on the site.
Absolutely.
You know, do some deep breathing, do some mindful meditation or whatever. They can learn it. It's education. And then the other part of that is being okay. Because you're talking about in your company, it's okay to feel that way. You're not isolated. There's not something wrong with you. And I always say to my clients, 98% of our problems starts with our thoughts. Because most of our thoughts are wrong, and we start to believe things and develop this perception of what life is or what other people are thinking. And we have these cognitive distortions. And once we can understand that, I even see that in my own clients, once they understand, they learn, they get educated about what is a cognitive distortion, then what do you do when you're struggling with those thoughts? And how do you bring your anxiety or your depression down or your stress? And it's obviously not simple, but it can be something that's learned and practiced. And even if you're outside in the freezing weather, up on a roof, doing whatever, you can do this and not feel shame and work through it. And I see that happening from what you're saying in your company. And I think that's amazing. I think what you're doing can be a really good example to other companies, not just other construction companies, but companies in general, to really, you said you read the book by Jim Collins, Good to Great.
Absolutely. Right?
So a great company really puts forth mental health in for their employees.
John, you're right. Look, as I said before, humanity as a strategy. So mental health is a part of humanity. We all have mental issues, meaning not, that's a negative, meaning we all are in our brain talking to ourselves, and we need to figure out a way to do it. The reason I like EDA and what we're doing is we're taking a class that has been seen as just angry. And they are. There's a lot of screaming, a lot of yelling, a lot of testosterone. You know, a lot is going on. But when you really dig deep with these individuals, they don't want to do that. They don't want their heart rate to rise. They don't want to, they don't want these things. So the more you speak to it and talk about it and say, I feel it's our responsibility as a for-profit business to do things that allow us to be profitable at the same time, add to humanity and do something that's good. And if we can give you examples of individuals, their wives coming up to me saying, my husband is so much better now because he's been able to take down and learn. And you said it the right way. You've given him the tools, the education of what's going on, the education of how to deal with it. And then privately, if I need help, he feels not ashamed to go get some help. You talk about filling my heart with joy when you can hear that from another individual who said that, and this isn't maybe even the most accomplished mechanic. This could just be any individual. This is just dealing with people who really just need some help. And because of the communities that construction workers are, there's a lot of construction workers that are coming from different communities where mental health is seen as a weakness. So to have us say, no, your strength is in your willingness to speak to it, because then I know we can help you. And then I know you will be better. And then I know you will help someone else. And then I know we as a group will be better because we are safer. So let's just talk about safety. We are safer when each and every one of you are in a mental space that is good, not necessarily great, but at least you're in a comfortable space, and we can see that. So you talk about safety, mental health safety is one of the things that you really want.
Exactly. And that will produce physical safety.
100%. There's no doubt.
It's all connected. All of this, what we're talking about, is connected. Yeah.
All connected. And, and we give, and John, just so you have an idea, we have one of our core values is smile, laugh, enjoy life. We also want to give them an opportunity to just be fun and happy. So we don't, there's another mental health of giving them a release that they can just be who they are without it, within a certain. So we create events where every worker is allowed to come and they just enjoy themselves and there's no stress, just so we can take some of those profits that we make and put them back into some of that help that, this is a person that just needs sometimes to blow off some steams. We have picnics for them and their family, and we have holiday parties for them. So they also feel like I matter, but at the same time, they get to blow off some steam.
I love that. That's so important. You celebrate with your employees. It's another indicator of a healthy workplace culture.
You know, I never even, John, that's interesting. I never thought of it that way. And I think that is some of the best connection that we have with each other. Again, humanity wants, we are social creatures. We want to be with other people and to celebrate with them instead of just browbeating them and bringing them together when something's wrong, which we have to do when there's something wrong. But if that's all we do, that's all they feel.
Right.
They feel the whole, the negative.
Yeah.
They don't feel like, hey, let's just come together and celebrate each other. No matter what your, you know, what your status is, whatever, just come and bring your significant other and let's just enjoy each other and celebrate. I like that. That's a great,
yeah, I love
great
that.
Thought.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Ed, our time is coming to a close here. I've really thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. I know in my field, the mental health field and mental health professionals, we talk a lot. We see a lot of toxic workplace environments, and it's just so refreshing to hear the opposite of that. And you're fostering a positive mental health, emotional health. And I know it's just going to continue to grow. And I'm sure if I were to sit down and talk to one of your employees and say, how do you feel? What's going on here? I am certain that they would say, I feel valued and I feel like a part of this company. But so many of my clients that I see have worked for companies. And a lot of times they're not always feeling valued in their company. And if they don't feel valued, on top of the amount of stress that they have from working, that equals burnout. And eventually you're going to have burnout employees that might show up to work, but they're not going to do quality work. And because they're not going to feel valued or even a part of the company. And so you want the opposite. So thank you for sharing your input. I love being able to learn more about just a healthy workplace environment, a place that people enjoy, want to be a part of. And it's sounds like a family, even though it's a large family. But I want to ask you one last question, if you don't mind. I would love to get your thoughts. If somebody, let's say it's another CEO or someone who, a founder of a company, and they're thinking about, maybe they're struggling with their employee mental health, or maybe they haven't even really thought about it. What would be something that you would encourage the leaders of a company to promote a healthier workplace environment?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. I get asked it a lot. And I think one of the most important things for any leader to do, and a founder should know this, is go do the research yourself. Believe it. Live it and believe it. So either search out mental health individuals, search out companies that have care for their mental health of their people, read about them, listen to them, the podcasts, or listen to a podcast like this. I hope someone listens to me and says, because I can tell you that I can make profits and do this. I can do both. I have a saying, I can chew gum and walk. I can do both. And you can do this. So what I would recommend someone to do is figure it out for yourself, because everyone's going to be looking at you. You are the one who's going to set, you said it, John, from the early beginning. It cascades down from your belief. Are you doing this because John told you to do this? Are you doing this because you believe this? I 100% believe this, and I believe it both from a business standpoint that I'm going to be better because of it, and because it makes me feel better as a human being that I feel like we're given an environment. That doesn't mean that we don't let people go. It doesn't mean that we don't hold people accountable. None of this is like, hey, this is about committing to the mental health of your employees. And then when the dollars and cents don't add up perfectly, that you're still committed to it. So my real advice is, there's plenty of information out there about why it's good. Read about companies, even if your company is a two-person company, five-person company, read about all the companies and don't think that you can't do it, because I'm a construction company. I don't think a lot of people were doing it. We did it, and now people are following us because, and I hope they do. And that's why I'm willing to speak to anybody, because I want someone, this is one thing I want everybody to copy, because we are better as an industry and we are better as a humanity if we're all kind of thinking this way, because it's something that we all need to be addressing, and we'll have better families, better loved ones, and a society that's a little safer.
I love it. I love it. And you're talking what I refer to as shifting. We need to shift our thinking and go from a fear-based to a more health-based. And
that's
great. I love it. I love it. I think
that's
it's great.
Because that's what construction was. A lot of it was fear-based. I'll give you, and I'll leave you with this. They said, I'm a tool, and all you're going to do is change me out when you're done with me as a tool. That hit me hard. Said, no. And so they were fearful that you were going to replace me with another tool. No, I want to give you the resources so you can be the best you can be. And then you can make the choice whether you want to be with me or not. I don't want you to be with me if I don't give you the type of experience that makes you feel good and makes you feel like you're valued. And if I don't think you're holding your end of the bargain when it comes to the transactional part of our relationship, you will be told, we will talk, we will be open with you, we will give you an opportunity. But if that part of that transaction doesn't work out, there's nothing wrong with us leaving that relationship and saying, there's no reason for me to beat the hell out of you on the way out the door. There is no value to that. We have a very strong position when we're letting someone go that we do it with extreme care. Care about how you let someone go who's not able to succeed because of the transactional part of our business. That doesn't mean you leave them as a human being. You just say, look, and we give them resources. We have all kinds of resources if they have issues with it. And I don't care if you're a construction worker, you're in an office. So we try to keep them all the same. My frontline people and all of businesses, your frontline people is where you make your money. So spend the money there.
Mm-hmm.
Spend the money there. Get to them. Because that's the most people you have at your frontline. So I'm passionate about it.
And
I'm glad
that
it's an important thing to you as a person who believes that this is good. Forget humanity then. This is just good business. I don't even know how to do it now without it. Honestly, it's such a part of who we are that if someone says, thank you for giving us education, it's like, well, what else would I do? I owe you. You're out there working to earn stuff for your family, but you're also at the end of the day also supporting the profits of this company. So I think I owe it to you to give you the best opportunity to be the best you. And like you said earlier, the best people are the ones who feel very good about who they are. They are incredibly efficient and innovative. They're just so well. So just keep sharpening that saw and train them and help them and, invest some time in them.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's investing in human capital. And it's so
Absolutely. True.
So true.
And so true. And we get too many. Look, I want leaders to listen to this to say, you don't have to do it the other way. There is another way. Whip, hard-lined, you can be profitable. But for me, I don't want that. I don't care how profitable I be. And number two, I don't believe you contribute to society in a positive way when all you do is take the money. There's a value to us. We're all on this earth together. I got to live in this earth with people. We can do both. We can have great businesses, and there are great businesses out there that are concentrating on mental health. We just need to reject the other way of doing things, because it's not possible to totally. You're going to have to throw people away, and that's not going to work.
Yeah.
We have an issue getting good people to do the work we do already. So we've done so much better because we're able to invest, as you said, in the human capital. Since we don't have as much ability to have human capital, there's not as many people going into the construction industry. We really have to double down, because we need these people. And yes, they might have a background that might be a little bit broken of some sort. What are we going to do about it? We're going to throw them away, or are we going to care about them? Even people who have had addiction here. We have a program called the EDA Pact, where if you self-diagnose and you tell us, we will guarantee your job back. But even if you don't, as long as you go into our program, our caring program, we will get you back to work with no stain on you. We know people have tough lives, and sometimes they fall into certain things that have nothing to do with their choice. No one wakes up every day and says, let me be an alcoholic.
Right.
It's part of something else. But we're going to get you to the place. We're not professionals. We're going to get you to the place, but we're going to want you to come back. And we want you to get back into society. But you're going to have to do the things that we want to make sure. That means you're going to have to go to meetings. You're going to have to get mental health. You're going to have to get some care, medical care, and make sure that we know that when you come back that you're the best that you can be.
That's so great.
It's a fun thing. So John, I really appreciate the opportunity to speak to it. You were great. I think I love what you're speaking about. Keep speaking about mental health as it relates to, especially entrepreneurs. I want all entrepreneurs to know that you can do it this way. So those people that you may be speaking with who work for those people, that they can see that their bosses have changed their tune. And you can, and that's the other thing. You can change at any moment to do this. There's no reason. I know, I thought it too. You think my business is going to go in the crapper if I try to do this. It's not true. It's just not true. It takes effort. It takes money, but you can do it.
Yeah. And it pays off. The rewards are way more. Yeah.
Way more. Yeah. I could go on, John, we'd be on for hours if I told you stories about people talking to me about how much it made an impact in their life to have the ability to feel safe enough to say, I'm stressed out. I'm having some trouble at home. I'm stressed out. All right, well, let's give you a couple of minutes and let's figure out a way to put you in a place where you can go get some help and no one's going to look at you differently. So I really appreciate it.
Excellent.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Ed. And it's been a real pleasure talking with you. And I'm very thankful that there is a company with construction. You brought it up that there's, you know, that's a trade that's not necessarily people are running to find a job. And it's a industry that we desperately need, and we need it to continue. And so we want to be able to, you know, what you're saying, hey, you can be in construction, but you can also be you as a person. And we're going to help you and love you and hold you accountable along the way. Come on.
Yes.
You know, and we need more of that. And so
we do as a country. And that's why I think look, that is my sales pitch. You can make a great living here. There's no shame. You can be in construction. We're going to care for you like a human being. You're not going to be a tool. You're going to be a human being no different than if you worked down at the Starbucks or you worked at JP Morgan. You can come here. If you want to be a place where you're cared for and you do great things, you can see buildings that you built and you can get real pride in what you do. And America is and needs these type of individuals. Yes. And we have a lot of them here that are amazing and they will help you if you ever want to get into the industry.
Oh, that's fantastic. I hope you get flooded with applications.
I hope so too.
All right. Ed.
All right.
I'm going to let you go. And I just want to thank you to my listeners as well. I appreciate you. If you just found this, hey, I'm glad that you're here. You can subscribe to the Mental Health Today show. A lot of you have been watching or listening for a very long time. I've been doing this since 2015, and it's just been a real pleasure. And thank you. I appreciate you all. And Ed, again, thank you. And for your company and for your employees, just give a shout out to them. So I'm really thankful for the work that you and they do for our country.
Thank you very much, John. Appreciate the platform.
Yeah, you bet. Take care.
Take care.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.